That last line shows you how bad we can get. They watched Jesus heal a man, and now they're going to figure out how to kill Jesus. Now that's a pretty hard heart. So we should pray for ourselves and for others. But what I want to talk about this morning for a little while is the letter to the Colossians. We're starting this key line here, you see. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister. Now, what could be lacking to the sufferings of Christ? Why would this be a vocation, actually the vocation of the whole church, realized in a very particular way by a very great saints, Therese, one, Faustina, another? There's a mystery here, and it's intimately connected with the Eucharist. God wants the reality of Christ to be present on earth. There's nothing lacking except the presence of Christ on earth. Why do we have a Eucharist? Why? Wouldn't it be sufficient to have everybody come together, read a little scripture, think about the passion and resurrection of Jesus, and go home? Why do we have to pray? Why does the Lord have to change this bread and wine into his own risen body and blood for us? You see, the Father wills that the mystery of Christ be present, physically present on earth. So what is lacking to the afflictions of Christ is that those afflictions live in us, in our bodies, in our souls, here on earth. So there's nothing lacking to what Jesus has done for us. But what is lacking is that it be present in this world. It follows the same, if you will, sacramental principle of the Eucharist and the other sacraments. It has to have a physical, human, historical existence, and that's the church. And in the church, there are these people who intimately share the passion of Christ. And they're the ones who hold the world together. And they are the saints. And so, for instance, Father Jordi and Lourdes just came back from Rome, where they were talking. I forgot his name, Cardinal Piacenza, right? He's very much in favor of this movement or this group, Mothers of Priests, to offer up their prayers and their sufferings for the priesthood, for the priests. It's gathering more and more. In fact, one of those people in that community does prays and suffers for me, which is one of the reasons why I don't want to blow it. I mean, waste this woman's, you know, sufferings. But so there's this mystery here, you see. When the Pope asked us to pray and fast on Saturday, why fast? So that some little bit of the sufferings of Christ would be present here in history, in our bodies. It's the same reason for the Eucharist. Why can't we all get together and just think about the passion and resurrection? No. It has to be here physically. And that's what this Eucharist is all about. Jesus, fixed in the act of love in which he died, here, present, physically. That's what Mass is. And so this text, almost in one way unique in the whole New Testament, you see. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. I rejoice. Therese did that. Faustina, Margaret Mary Alacoque, Peter Claver, you see? And I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. What is lacking is the physical presence of the sufferings of Christ in us. We give historical dimension to the historic, to the afflictions of Christ, once again. Because, you see, Saints Felicity and Perpetua were put in jail in Rome, the age of the martyrs. Felicity was the maid of Perpetua, who was of the Roman nobility. Well, Felicity was pregnant. While she was in jail, she was giving birth, so she was moaning and groaning, and the jailer called in, "If you're doing that over childbirth, what are you going to do when you get out there in the Colosseum?" And she said, "You don't understand. Here I'm suffering. There, someone else is suffering in me. I'm not worried about that." See that mystic? And so this is a very profound lesson for us. Why, while some people are at the abortion clinic, others are here praying. It's not like Paul, you know, beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked. You can read the litany of his sufferings. Why does he list them all in 1 Corinthians? Well, because his opponents would come with a list of their great, "I healed four people in the last town, I did," you know, this kind of stuff. And he said, "No, I'll tell you where my great accomplishments are. I've been stoned to death. I've been shipwrecked, I've been betrayed by my own, I've been beaten. Those are my wonders." Though I probably healed more people than anybody else put together. But those are my wonders. Those are the things. And so we have it here again. You see, this mystery. And that's why when the Pope didn't just say, "Pray," he said, "Pray and fast." On Saturday. And so we have this tremendous mystery, and I thought it was worth taking some time to talk about it and then move on. I don't want to keep everybody here all morning. But it's very important because this is at the root of when mothers tell their children, "Offer it up." It's this theology. So that, you know, Johnny hit me, or I didn't get my candy today, whatever, offer it up. That tiny thing is still Christ suffering in that child. And so it's a very profound thing. And only the saints really get it. You know, St. Teresa of Avila used to say, "Either let me suffer or let me die. Either let me be living the mystery of Christ right here, or let's get out of here." So I just thought it was worth, you know. So we do little things like today, rain or shine, people will be praying, saying the rosary in front of the clinic today, and praying for those people. And others will be doing other things. Life is not just one endless suffering. We all know that. But who are the happiest people on the globe? The saints. Because their whole being is filled with Jesus Christ. And they love him.